We had an outstanding time yesterday. I want to thank all of the men who participated. We had set a goal of 50 to be in attendance, and we have 54. So we exceeded our goal, and we're just very grateful for that. Really appreciate a couple of the brothers who helped out, the group who helped out with the calling and motivating the men to get out. Brother Charles Dickerson, we also had Brother Shackelford, we had Brother Dante Williams, and we also had Brother Tavian Bell. Those men did a really good job of getting the men interested and getting them to come out, making contact with them. Want to thank Brother Robert Moore, Brother Ken Crowder for the job they did with preparing the meal. And sisters, thank you for letting the brothers come. And some of you encouraged them and made sure they got there. So we wanted this. Thank everybody. Let's give them a hand. They did an outstanding job. And while you're clapping, Brother Wilkerson was outstanding. He was outstanding. So if the guys are fired up, blame Brother Wilkerson, you know. Blame Brother Wilkerson because he just did an outstanding job. Okay. I'm going to sum up here real quick. Also want to encourage the sisters, come out this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Matter of fact, get here before 3 o'clock because we're going to have visiting sisters and they'll be here early, and so you guys need to be here to host them, please. Come out for the United Sisters Bible class. Sister Snow will be teaching, or she was scheduled, but there's a bug that's kind of got us kind of upside down and inside out, as they say. but we're working on it. And so there will be a teacher who will teach that class. But come on out and support the ladies, if you would, please. Now it's my pleasure to introduce and to present to some our guest speaker this morning. And we want to certainly welcome him. Brother Benny Wilkerson is not a stranger in the brotherhood or to this area. We had him here about 3 years ago to do this, and he did an outstanding job then. I'll give you a little bit of information about Brother Wilkerson. He has a bachelor's degree from SUNY Westbrook College or University in sociology, and he also has a master's degree from Stony Brook University in social work. He is a family therapist. He's worked in the social system, the school system, and for about 15 years. And so he kind of has been right out there in the trenches with seeing families, with seeing various things that happen. And so he's an asset to the secular world, and he's also very much so an asset to the church. And he is the assistant minister to the Camp Crete Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia. He's assigned three different ministries that he works with there. Besides being the assistant minister, he is also over the retention program, trying to close the door so folks don't go out the back door in the church. And he is over the fellowship ministry. And so he does a great job in all of those. From the family side of things, he is married to his wife, Tanya. I'm going to ask Tanya to stand. 25 years. Amen. Amen. And they have two boys, Alex, 22, and Nick, 21. And so he's gone through the thing of raising teenage boys. And I just found this out. You know, when you ask questions of people, sometimes people you've known a long time, you don't know stuff until you ask the question. So I say, what do you do for a hobby? And he says, he's into martial arts. And then he said, second degree. And I'm like, okay, you know, you're just working on your black belt. Second degree black belt. So I didn't know that about him. So that's nice. And then what he said he also likes to do is spend time with Tanya. That's all right. Wonderful. So it is my pleasure to introduce to some and present to others Brother Benny Wilkerson. And so after a song, the next voice you will hear will be that of Brother Benny Wilkerson from the Atlanta, Georgia area, the Camp Crete Church of Christ.
Let the Spirit of the Lord, let it rise among us. Let the Spirit of the Lord, let it rise among us. Let the praises of our King, let it rise among us. Let it rise, oh, let it rise, oh, 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 well, let it rise. Let the Spirit of the Lord, let the Spirit of the, oh, let it rise. Well, let the Spirit of the Lord, let it rise among us. Let the praises of our King, let it rise. Come on and let it rise, oh, let it rise. Oh, 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 let it rise. Let the power of the Lord, let the power of the, oh, let it rise. Come on and let the power of the Lord, let it rise. Well, now let the praises of our King, let it rise. Come on and let it rise. Oh, 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 let it rise. Say, let the power of the Lord, let the power of, come on and let it rise. Well, now let the power of the Lord, let it rise. Well, let the praises of our King, let it rise. Come on and let it rise. Oh, 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 well, let it rise.
Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. Certainly God has been good. God has been better to us than we've ever dared to be to our own self. He woke us up this morning, y'all, and he did not have to do it. Isn't that right? So we serve a mighty, mighty good God. Is that all right? Amen, somebody. I bring you greetings from the Camp Creek Church of Christ, where I have the privilege of serving for the last 15 years as the assistant minister to Dr. Howard Wright. We bring you greetings. We are thankful to the Almighty God for being here with you. I'm going to thank Brother Snow and the elders, the leadership of this congregation, for extending an invitation to me to be here. I've been here, I was here in 2014. He brought me back again, and fellas, we just had a good time. We just had a good time, and we've enjoyed ourselves, and I hope I've said some things to you yesterday that's going to stay with you, that's going to germinate through your faith. Amen, somebody. Amen. And show itself in your actions going forward. I want to also mention my lovely wife, my ace, my best friend. She would not let me come by myself. Amen. She is on my team, y'all. Amen. Amen. She is my partner. We don't go anywhere without each other. Amen, brothers. Amen. To all of our visitors, we'd like to extend a warm and a cordial welcome to you. We want you to know that there is no place anywhere like this place. I wouldn't be anywhere else this morning but in the house of God. Is that all right? It's just something invigorating about being in the house of God. You can come in here down, but you can go out of here lifted up. Isn't that right? You can come in here a sinner, but you can walk out of here a saint. It's just something invigorating about being in the house of God. There's no place like this place, anywhere near this place. So it's no accident that you're in the house of God this morning. And we thank you. And we want you to know that you are our honored guest. If there's anything that we can do or say this morning to make your stay more comfortable, please do not leave here without letting us know. We just ask that you don't ask us to compromise the truth.
because there's something we cannot do. The Bible is clear. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Is that all right? Amen. And I'm thankful for my family who lives in this area, taking time out of their schedule and their places of worship to come and to support what we're trying to do here at Redford this weekend. If you have your copy of God's Word, meet me in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Waiting for you at verse number 13. You should already have it. White pages are flipping. Amen, somebody. The Bible says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanatus, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanatus and Fortunatus and Archaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Is that in your Bible? We're going to pay close attention to verse number 15. There is a phrase in verse number 15 that's going to serve as a launching pad for our lesson this morning. He says, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of Christ. So let's consider for a few moments an unusual addiction. An unusual addiction. Back at verse number 13. The word watch means to be alert. But not just be alert, but be alert regarding the issues of life. Be careful about where you spend your time. Be careful about where you spend your time meditating. Watch ye, be on guard. Then he says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in your spiritual stability. And the best way I think about stability, I think about what David said in Psalms 40. He says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me up out of the horrible pit, and he set my feet on a solid rock. So when we talk about stand firm or stand fast, we're talking about your spiritual walk. We need, for members of the body of Christ, we need you to stand fast when you're dealing with the issues of life. Then he says, quit you like men. Y'all see that? That quit you like men really means act like a man. I mean, we're living in a society, in other words, or keep yourself sensible. Have some sense about you. When I think about a man, I don't know how many trackies we got up in here, but I love Star Trek. I love Star Trek and Lieutenant Worf is a bad man. Lieutenant Worf's motto is, today is a good day to die. That's his motto. He was always prepared for battle. He was always willing to stand for what they believed in. What wonderful it would be if we had men and women willing to die for the Lord. He says, quit you like men. Act like a man. Be strong. Be strong through your inner spiritual strength. Then in verse 14, he said, let everything be done with love. And the best way to understand this is I remember when Jesus was with Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, beginning to get indignant, Lord, you know I love you. He says a third time, Peter, do you love me? Peter was like, Lord, why don't you just search my heart? You know all things. You know me. Just look at my heart and see that what I'm doing because I love you. If the Lord searched your heart this morning, would he know that you love him? Huh? Would he know that you love him? Then he says, for they have addicted themselves to the ministry, to the diakonos, to the serving of the saints, to the serving of the saints, to the serving of the saints, not the saints serving them. See, y'all missed y'all shout. You see, a lot of us like to be served, but we don't want to serve. They've addicted themselves. And then he says, there are some folk that I keep around me so that they can refresh me. Because when you are addicted to the ministry, it's going to cause something. So what I want to talk about this morning is this unusual addiction. It's an unusual addiction. I remember working with people. Tears come to my eyes even now when I think about family members who got a hold of something that got a hold of them. Do I have a witness here? They are addicted to marijuana, heroin, painkillers, gambling. Y'all, anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Not just my family, but your family. You know what it's like when people are addicted to something. And what I like about the God that we serve, when we talk about addiction, he makes a negative word a positive word. Is that all right? And just stay with me. Now, I'm told now, when you deal with an addiction, there are three primary characteristics of an addiction. Listen to me. It involves a strong habit. Isn't that right? If a person is going to be addicted, there is going to have to be or have a strong habit. Number two, it involves a growing tolerance of the drug. Amen, somebody. You know weed, y'all. That marijuana, they say that's the gateway drug. Uh-huh. Isn't that right? Y'all can act like y'all got halos on if you want to. Amen, somebody. Y'all know what weed is. Amen, somebody. That's the gateway drug. In other words, it's going to eventually lead to something, because what it's doing for you now, amen, somebody, your body is going to get addicted to that, and your body's going to want to have that, and eventually that weed is not going to be strong enough, amen, somebody, or that little social drink you do, it ain't going to be enough for you to get the high that you're looking for. Isn't that right? So it's going to be a growing tolerance to the drug. And you're going to need some more and some more, or something even stronger. There's going to be a dependence on the drug. Is that all right? Yeah, that's the addictions that y'all know about. But what we're getting ready to talk about is this unusual addiction that God gives us. If we look at the AA program, That's nothing more than biblical principles. Isn't that right? Paul said he was addicted to the ministry. Isn't that right? I am addicted to the ministry. Can you imagine what it would be like if every preacher was addicted to the ministry? Can you imagine what it would be like if every elder was addicted to the ministry? Can you imagine what it would be like if every deacon was addicted to the ministry? Amen, somebody. Can you imagine what it would be like if every man was addicted to the ministry? Can you imagine what it would be like if every child of God was addicted to the ministry? If we were addicted to the ministry, we'll be fiending for this stuff. Oh, y'all gonna help me here? Okay. We want it. We got to have it. We'll steal to get it. We'll call in sick so we can be at the men's seminar. If we were truly addicted to the ministry. You know what it's like. Some of us know firsthand what it's like to be addicted to something. Amen, somebody. You got to have it. You yearn for it. Even when you got your high. You thinking about how you gonna get your next hit. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to picture this with me. You see what it's like. You see what it's like when you have a yearning for something. Uh-huh. What can you imagine what the church would be like if every last one of us was addicted to the ministry of Christ? We wouldn't be begging for teachers. We wouldn't be begging for men to step up and lead. Amen, somebody. Wives won't be looking for men at home. Oh, y'all gonna help me here? Huh? What can you imagine what the home would be like if men were addicted to their families like they're addicted to crack cocaine? Can you imagine what it would be like? Huh? Can y'all see that? You know, the Bible says without a vision of people perish. I hope y'all see. I'm hoping that you see this thing. We're talking about an unusual addiction. We ain't talking about no alcohol, no drugs, no marijuana and heroin and all that. We're talking about being addicted to the ministry of God. That's unusual because you don't have folk that's dedicated to the cause. But Paul said he's thankful for his brothers and sisters because they have addicted themselves. And I like that word addicted. I told my brother who was reading, make sure you read it from the King James Version. See, some translations render that addiction as devoted. And I got that. I understand that. I know you understand that. But we better understand addiction when you know how folk are. Isn't that right? They have addicted themselves to the ministry of God. And we would be some awesome people. The church of God will grow if we had individuals that were addicted to the ministry. Then they tell me you gotta have a growing tolerance for Christ. Isn't that right? And his work. Now, in order for us to understand this, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and around verse number 10, he says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Uh-huh. Y'all see that? In the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. Now, Paul had been in Christ about 30 years. Amen, somebody. We got folk who've been in the body of Christ longer than 30 years, and they don't know Jesus. I said, you don't know Jesus. Amen, somebody. We got folk who've been in the church 30 years, and they're still babes in Christ. Amen, somebody. Just because you've been in the church for a length of time don't mean you got it all together. It does not mean that you know King Jesus. Amen, somebody. Paul said, Paul been in the ministry about 30 years, and yet he makes the statement that I may know him. Oh, y'all see that, right? So it's possible. It's possible for you to be in the church a length of time and you still not know who Jesus is. Isn't that right? But yet we walk around here like we got it all. We don't spend no time meditating. We don't spend time in prayer. We don't come to Bible study like you know we should. Or y'all gonna help me, but you walk around here like you know Jesus. Oh, come on now. We're talking about having that growing tolerance. Paul said that I may know him. Well, what is it? What is it that I need to know? He said, I need to know more of those Damascus experience. Oh, what happened on the Damascus road? He had an up close personal conversation with Jesus. Oh, amen, somebody, with God. He had a personal conversation with God. If you want to know him, you need to have personal communication with God. Isn't that right? Amen, somebody. You need to have a personal connection with the Master. You need to know him intimately. Amen, somebody. I know my wife. I said, I know my worth. I know her intimately. I know every nook and cranny. Oh, y'all gonna help me here? That's my wife. Can you imagine what it would be like to know God in every nook and cranny? Everything about God, what makes him happy, what makes him sad. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What pleases him, what doesn't please him. We're talking about being addicted to the ministry, a growing tolerance that I may know him. I want an intimate connection with him. He had that desire. He had that yearning. I got to know God. I need more of these Damascus experiences. You remember when he was in jail? Amen, somebody. Went to jail because he was preaching the word of God. Don't you remember he worried about that thing for a quick moment, but then the angel of God came to him? Huh? And said, don't worry about this. I got this. Amen, somebody. He said, I want to have more of those experiences. I want to know him. You see, when I can't talk to my wife about things that I'm dealing with. Amen, somebody. When I'm dealing with brothers who don't dream. When I'm dealing with church members that all they want to do is fuss and fight and they're bickering and this and that. And when I'm dealing with a mean boss man and the boss lady all week long. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you got to deal with these folk driving in Detroit and driving like they ain't got no sense. Amen, somebody. Amen, man. When you got to deal with these police officers that's shooting our boys. Oh. He said, I need to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Isn't that right? He said, look. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Look at this, y'all. When we talk about the power of his resurrection, Jesus suffered first. Then he had the power to resurrect. He said, Benny, you ain't ready for that. You can't do that. He said, what I need to do, I need to reverse the situation with you. He said, because you ain't ready for Golgotha yet. I know you think you're ready, but you're not ready for Golgotha yet. So here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you first the power of my resurrection. Now you're going to take the power of my resurrection, and now you're ready to suffer. Christ suffered first. Then he was resurrected. You and I, we ain't ready for that. No, amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Yeah. You ain't ready for what the devil is going to throw at you. You're not ready for the suffering that comes from being addicted to Christ. Amen. Amen. So God said, I'm going to reverse this for you. Amen, somebody. So now what he tells us is that if God was here, if Jesus was here right now, what they would do to him is going to happen to us. Oh, y'all got to see that. What Satan and the devil would try to do to Jesus, but because he's not here, he's going to do it to you and he's going to do it to me. Isn't that right? So all these folk who's getting on your last nerve, they would do the same thing to Jesus if he was here. Amen, somebody. Those folk that cuss you out, they would be doing the same thing to Jesus if he was here. Those folk who's backbiting you, slandering you, saying all manners of evil against you, they would be doing the same thing to Christ if he was here. So when we start talking about that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering, what they would have been doing to Christ if he was here, they're doing it to you and I. But guess what? When you're addicted to the ministry, he said, I'm going to give you the power to overcome whatever you have to go through. But guess what? You got to understand that it's going to cost you something. I said it's going to cost you something. Amen, somebody. That's why Jesus said, if anybody love mother, father, sister, and brother more than me, he's not fit for the kingdom. Amen, somebody. And when Satan can't get to you, he's going to go to your wife. He's going to go to your children. Boy, y'all miss y'all shout. Anybody got teenage children? Huh? Anybody got children that's out in the wilderness? Anybody got children that's out in the wilderness? No, these folks are just saying amen, just saying that out of GP. Anybody got a child that's out in the wilderness? All right, y'all ain't ready for that one yet. Yeah. What they would do to Christ, they're going to do it to you and I. Isn't that right? Amen, somebody. So understand, this is an unusual addiction. You got to have a growing tolerance for ministry. You got to have a growing tolerance for serving God. And every last one of us need to experience this addiction. Amen, somebody. Some of y'all up in here, you off that stuff now. But now, your new drug is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Can I say something now? If you used to be an addict, you ought to be the one leading our ministries. You know what it's like. Amen, somebody. God has blessed you to come away from that. So now you take that experience and you teach us how to be addicted to the ministry. Amen, somebody. How we can be committed. How we can yearn for the will of God and the word of God. Does that make sense? Amen. You lead these ministries. So when I'm gone, you need to come to these elders and say, I got you, Brother Snow. Yeah, I'm going to demonstrate to our members how to be addicted to the ministry. Amen, somebody. Is that all right? Now, you got to understand something. As we go ahead and wrap this up, this addiction will kill you. I say, any addiction will kill you. But see, what I like about this unusual addiction is that Paul said he gives us the template on how to live with this addiction without this addiction killing us. He said, I had some folk around me. I said, I had some folk around me. And can I just stop for some station identification? All y'all ain't hanging out with me. Everybody ain't hanging out with me. I know you a child of God, but everybody ain't hanging out with Benny. He said he had some folk around him, Tanya, that refreshed him. Some of y'all work on my... Oh. Tell the truth, stay in church. You got more problems than I can handle. Hey, bro, how you doing? Well, you know, all right. I got that. I got that. But when I see you on Wednesday, hey, bro, how you doing? Well, y'all know y'all. See, y'all laughing because y'all might be one of those folk. I'm saying, every time you turn around, you ain't got nothing good to say about nothing. Be thankful that you woke up this morning. Be thankful you still got a roof over your head. Be thankful you still got some food. Amen, somebody. Be thankful you got clothes on your back. Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. But we sit back and everything come out of our mouth is a complaint. No, you ain't hanging out with me. Because I got some of the same problems. And misery loves miserable company. Isn't that right? Paul said, I need folk around me who's going to refresh me. Hey, amen. I don't need you trying to take a hit off of what I'm smoking. Y'all going to help me here? It ain't paid for nothing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Folk always want to. And then they want to hold it for a long time. If you're going to at least going to share it, puff, puff, pass. Come on now. Folk. They coming to you with they stuff. And I need you for my stuff. Paul said, I had folk around me that refreshed me. And not only did they refresh me, but they refresh you. Hey, you need to team up. Brothers, talk to me now. Amen. You need to team up with some folk. You know what I'm saying? That's going to help you deal with those issues you deal with. Amen, somebody. They can't be experiencing some of the same stuff now. You need somebody who, if they've experienced it, they've come out on the other end. Amen. You let them tell you how to get past this stuff. Amen, somebody. Sisters, you too. Amen, somebody. We need to team up. We need people around us who's going to refresh us, because even preachers get weak. Elders get weak. Deacons get weak. Wives get weak. Children get weak. Everybody can't hang out with me. You got to be going where I'm trying to go. If you ain't trying to go to heaven, step. Amen, somebody. That's what this thing is all about. I am addicted to the ministry. And if you're not addicted to the ministry, we got to shake deuces. Amen, somebody. But understand something. I want you. God wants you to be addicted to the ministry. I'm going to encourage you to come on and catch this fire I got. Amen, somebody. But if you don't want to catch fire, you got to step. Why? Because I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to this. And understand, instead of being with you, I'm going to be with my Christian brothers and sisters. I'm going to be fellowshipping. Because that's where I get my strength from. That's how I get rejuvenated. Am I right about it? Amen. Honestly, that's what we're doing on Sunday morning. That's what we're doing on Sunday morning. We are worshiping God. This is our pep rally. This is our prep rally. This is where we get refreshed, because guess what? Tomorrow, you got to go deal with the man. Amen, somebody. So can I say something? So because you know this is our pep rally, and because you know you got to go back out there and you got to deal with the man tomorrow, stop running out of here and fellowship sometime. Oh, y'all ain't got that problem here? I'm talking about Atlanta. I'm saying, folk, you say, soon as you say amen, they up and out. They don't want to hear no announcements. They don't want to know what care group is meeting. They don't want to know nothing. And I said nothing too. Huh? They don't want to know. They don't want to know what's going on. They think they came, they got that juice and that cracker, and they good. See you next Sunday. Huh? But guess what? If it's not right this way, it cannot be right that way. Amen, somebody. So stop walking out a different door to keep from speaking to another brother or sister. Hang around that I might know him in the fellowship of his suffering. That's it, y'all. That's it. That's it. That unusual addiction still has to be a habit. You got to have a growing tolerance. You got to have a dependence on that. And I just told you how you can live with this addiction without this addiction killing you. Is that all right? And that's one to grow on. Yeah. Guess what? We serve an awesome and mighty kind of God. Isn't that right? If you're not addicted to this ministry, you can get addicted. Isn't that right? Those of us who are members of the body of Christ already, all it takes is a growing tolerance. A growing tolerance. Huh? If you constantly yearn for being close to Jesus, it's gonna become a habit. And you're gonna want to have it. Isn't that right? You're going to be around other folk who are addicts. Y'all see that, right? Addicts hang with addicts. Yeah, they do. Huh? Y'all know about them crack houses? Huh? No. Look at the analogy and make the spiritual point. What if the church was a crack house? Come on, y'all. Everybody trying to get filled, trying to get a hit. Boy, we will blow up this community. We will blow it up for the Lord. And you former ones, you lead us in this path. And then you show us what houses we need to go to change their addiction to an addiction for God. Oh, that's awesome. All you got to do is make up in your mind that that's what you're going to do, child of God. You're saying, repent. You're saying, and get back in this Christian race and say, I'm going to be addicted to the ministry. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you are living beneath your privilege. You're living beneath your prayer. God wants you to be a part of this addiction house. We are addicted to the ministry. We look out for one another. We help one another. We build up one another. You telling me you don't need that in your life? We support one another, and God will support you. God will fight your battles. You telling me you don't need that? Come on now, you've heard the word. Question now is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Are you willing to make up in your mind that you've been doing it your way? Now you're ready to do it God's way. Your way don't work. You know it. You know it. That it don't work. So why not do it Jesus' way? Do it God's way. Confess. Give me your hand and give God your heart. Make that grand confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That confession brought death to Jesus Christ, but it will bring everlasting life to you after you have completed your obedience in baptism. And all he wants you to do is live faithful unto death. Now, that don't mean you ain't going to relapse. I said, that don't mean you ain't going to relapse. But what did Paul say? I had some folk around me that what? See, everybody ain't saying that. I got to start all over again. I'm ready. I'm trying to quit. But y'all want me to quit. Y'all better work with a brother. Paul said he had some folk around him that did what? Amen, somebody. So you can live with this addiction without this addiction killing you. Don't have me beg you to do what it is that you know that you need to do. Is that all right? But I don't mind getting on my knees. I'm not too proud to beg. But don't make me have to beg, because you know what you need to do. Get addicted to this ministry. We're going to stand and we're going to sing our invitation song. Do what you know you need to do.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, Lord, hear my humble cry, and while on others thou calling, Lord, do not pass me by. I'm calling you, say, oh, Savior, Lord, please hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, Lord, do not pass me by.
One of the things we introduced to our brothers yesterday was Satan's 131 press. Satan's coming after us in one of three ways: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The pride of life is its strongest yet weakest position in the press, because it works on our mind. We got some egos, y'all, that gets us in trouble. We have some stinking thinking that gets us in trouble. What I'm looking at right now, when we extend the Lord's invitation, I'm looking at some folk who I know got issues. And you still standing where you are. Just hear me. I don't know your individual issues, your struggles. But my question is this: if Jesus came right now, are you going to heaven? And if you are secure, then God bless you and you stay where you are and you keep singing, encouraging others to come. But if you know that heaven is not going to be your home 5 minutes from now, should he come? Why are you playing Russian roulette with your soul? Come on now. Understand how Satan is working. He's up in here now. He's making you think that you got tomorrow. You got next week. He got you thinking that, well, I'll do that and be more committed when I get myself together. He's making you think that you can do it all by yourself. Understand that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers, and you can't do it by yourself. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Wait a minute now. Don't let him pass you by. Because you've been thinking this way for a very long time. And he said, I will pass you by. He says, I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. I'll let you keep thinking you got a whole lot of time. Church folk, let's put the cuckoo back in the clock. and let's do what you know you must do to make heaven your home.
I really love the Lord. I love the Lord. Oh, you don't know what he's done for me. Well, he gave me the victory. I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. Don't you know I really love the Lord. Well, don't you know I really love the Lord. 'Cause you don't know he's done me. Well, he gave me the victory. Oh Lord, I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. Say you don't know what he's done for me. Well, he gave me the victory. Oh Lord, I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord.
Good afternoon, church. What a powerful, powerful message that our ears have heard on this day. At this time, we have